Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, world-renowned philosopher, translator, author, and astrologer Dr. Benjamin Dykes will arrive to discuss the many time lords that influence individuals and groups every minute of their lives. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Greetings, Lauren. How are you doing this evening?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, I am so excited to talk to Dr. Dykes, but before we bring him out, I would like to ask you about your psychic specialties and some of the things you do at PsychicAccess.com.
Well, I specialize in doing readings and angel readings, so when people call in, I really just sit there and channel spirit and tap right into their energy and answer their questions as best I can through feeling, seeing, and hearing.
Oh, that's awesome. Angel readings, they sound very powerful. We had the pleasure of watching you give some readings last week. They were very, very awesome. So we can't wait to see you in action again this week giving those angel readings. Everybody, you can find Lauren at PsychicAccess.com. Thanks for joining us tonight, Lauren. Hello, Dr. Nona Marie. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Stephen. Thank you so much. I'm really excited about the guests that you got. I'm not familiar with this topic and can't wait to hear all about it, and especially since it sounds like we're going to really learn something we can apply.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We talked about earlier in the show, in the moments before the show, about how, you know, we'd love this to be a do-it-yourself type of enterprise where people can learn how to maybe understand how the Time Lords influence their lives. So it should be very educational. But before we get into that, how about sharing with us what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
I do predictive readings in the context of each person's life path, trying to give more of a context about not only what's happening, but why it's happening. I also do pet readings, some medium readings as well, and love working at Psychic Access, where I think we have the world's greatest psychics.
Absolutely agree with you. We're delighted to have you here with us this evening, everyone. You can find Dr. Nona Marie Foyer at PsychicAccess.com. Last but definitely not least is my good friend and colleague, Stephen Frampton. How are you doing this evening, Steve?
Very well, Stephen. Looking forward to the interview with Ben Dykes.
So am I. I definitely have you to thank for this. You've been instrumental. You know how much I love studying Dr. Dykes' work. And certainly I have you to thank for this. You certainly were instrumental in helping this to happen. So thanks a lot for that, Steve.
My pleasure. Well, it's going to be a great show, I'm sure.
The banter is going to be delightful as well. But before we get into all of that, why don't you share with us what it is that you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
Sure, Stephen. I'm an astrologer as well and a psychic medium. So I connect with spirit and channel. But you know, I'm very passionate about my astrology.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that cement our friendships. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Steve. We're going to have a wonderful interview with Dr. Dykes. Just for everybody's knowledge, Dr. Dykes is a leading medieval astrologer and translator who earned his PhD in philosophy from the University of Illinois. He earned his medieval astrology qualification from the great Robert Zoller, and he taught philosophy courses at the universities in Illinois and Minnesota. In 2007, he published the 13th century astrologer Guido Bonatti's complete book of astronomy, an encyclopedic work, and since then he's translated and published numerous traditional works on nativities, horary questions, and elections. For more information about Dr. Benjamin Dykes, please visit his website at bendykes.com, and that is D-Y-K-E-S, bendykes.com. Good evening, Dr. Dykes. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. So we're very, very grateful to have you here. So let's go ahead and get started. What everybody asks me is, what are the Time Lords? So maybe you can enlighten us. What are the Time Lords that we keep talking about?
Well, a Time Lord is normally a planet, but it can also be a sign. But let's think of it as a planet. It's a planet that has some kind of management authority over your life for a certain amount of time. There are different Time Lord systems for different topics, and some of them are, the length of time is based on the latitude of your birth and other things. The main thing about Time Lords is that instead of, like, let's say with transits, where you're looking for a specific day or a specific week for some event to happen, the idea behind Time Lords is that your life is divided up into intelligible episodes or chapters, like a biography, so that you move from one chapter to another. Whereas in a lot of predictive techniques, like transits, for example, there might be long periods of time when nothing is happening. So a Time Lord is a way of giving a kind of narrative quality to different chapters of life.
I apologize, Dr. Dykes. I had a bit of a technical glitch going on there. Okay. I just wanted to ask you, because there are so many different Time Lord systems, do we go astray if we think of these Time Lords in terms of being entities or spirits? Is this wrong to think of them that way?
It depends. I don't think you should think of them as having personalities as such. Although if you have a kind of spiritual or magical practice, it makes sense that if you, let's say, were in a Jupiter period, if Jupiter was your Time Lord, that you might do ritual or meditations where you maybe do devotional things involving Jupiter, drawing on Jupiterian energy. There were ideas that the planets were, in a sense, driven by angelic powers, spiritual forces. And if you want to go back to people like Plato, people like Plato would say that there are spiritual beings sort of beyond the material world, and the planets are the physical representations of them. So there is a background for thinking of planets and planetary energies that way, which, you know, could be useful for spiritual practice.
The Hindu astrologers, they've been working with Time Lords for a very long time. A lot of we Westerners, we're surprised when we learn about them. We've never heard about them before. But the Hindus have been using them for quite some time. Do they see their Time Lords in a more spiritual context in this way, would you think, Dr. Dykes?
You mean would the Indians think that way?
Yes, sir. I realize this isn't your specialty, but I'm just curious if you know whether...
My understanding is that they probably do, and there's a much more developed tradition of using gems and precious stones and metals and things like that to align yourself with planetary energies. I think there's been a long tradition of that in the West too. The issue, though, is that the people who wrote the textbooks on how to read charts weren't necessarily the ones who were writing the books about the gems and metals and things. So we do have some of that, but you'll usually find that in the occult and esoteric books, not in the astrology manuals. But it is still there. Ancient people talked about, you know, if you're having a problem with Venus, then you wear this kind of ring and burn this kind of incense. So that is there, but it usually isn't in the chart reading manuals.
The Persian astrologers of ancient times, they used a system of Time Lords, which you have articulated in your many books, called the Firdariya. I'm very attracted to this because it's, I hate to say simple, but would you mind perhaps discussing a little bit about the Firdariya and especially how it's calculated?
Sure. The word seems to be a Persian version of the Greek word periodos, which just means a period. And so we think that's where the word came from. I think it probably also had some Indian influence, because unlike all of the other Greek Time Lord systems we know, the Firdaria use the nodes, which the Indians also do. The Indians emphasize the nodes a lot. So there was probably some Indian origins there too. The idea is basically this, that you first need to know whether or not you were born by day or by night. So if the sun is above the horizon in your natal chart, then you have a diurnal or day chart. And if it's not, if he's below the horizon, then you have a night chart. If you were born during the day then your first time lord in life is going to be the sun, starting at birth. And he rules your life for 10 years. And then what they do is they go to the next planet in order, the so-called Chaldean order, or order of speed. So your next time lord will be Venus for 8 years, then Mercury for 13, and the moon for 9. And then it starts again up at the top with Saturn. And each of these periods is then subdivided so that each time lord, for a certain amount of time, then partners with the others. So, for example, in a diurnal chart, you'll start with the Sun-Sun period. Then you'll have the Sun-Venus, Sun-Mercury, Sun-Moon, Sun-Saturn. All of that takes place during the broader Sun period of 10 years. And the skill is in interpreting what the sun and the other planets are doing in your chart. So all diurnal people have the same general series, but what that means for you depends upon what is going on in your chart. If you were born at night, the series is the same. You just start with the moon, and then you move to Saturn and Jupiter and so on. So it's a way of dividing life into intelligible periods of certain lengths, but the actual meaning and the contours of your life will be largely dictated by what those planets are doing in your chart. But it does mean, for example, that someone who was born at night will encounter Saturnian things earlier in life, because Saturn becomes a time lord earlier in life, whereas someone born by day has Saturn after many, many years. And so you might think that, just like we talk about people and their Saturn returns, diurnal people might have Saturn issues that are different from the Saturn issues of lunar or nocturnal people.
So just to make sure we're understanding correctly, if I'm born in the daytime, then I will enter my Saturn chapter at a relatively young age. And depending on Saturn's condition in my birth chart, the things that Saturn promises, these things have a chance of happening during the quote-unquote Saturn chapter in my life.
Right, right. Saturn will always be one of these partnering or sublords during a smaller period. He's going to be part of the sub-periods. But he won't rule a major period until much later if you're a diurnal birth. Whereas in a nocturnal birth, he's a time lord much sooner. He's the major time lord much sooner.
This is very interesting, because a lot of people, as you well know, Dr. Dykes, they would love to learn more about their astrology, but they don't know their birth time. So this would be a good technique for those who have to ballpark their birth times, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. And although I don't use it very much, one thing that might make it appeal to people is that people are often really, they're really in tune with what their sun means and what their moon means, and all the symbolism of night and day, darkness and light, the conscious and the unconscious, and dividing life according to solar people and lunar people, I think would fit in well with what many of your listeners are already interested in.
I think so too. When I first learned about the Firdaria, I was just sort of floored at its simplicity, especially when I began to apply it to other charts. Very interesting stuff. There's another system of Time Lord rulerships that is also fairly simple but difficult to explain. You explain all of this brilliantly in your book, Traditional Astrology for Today, which I highly recommend, by the way. But I'm talking about the system of perfections. Would you please define perfections, if you could, Dr. Dykes?
Yep. Perfections are very old, and they, for a lot of astrologers, were really a bread and butter technique. I know it is for me when I do readings. The word perfection comes from a Latin word. It means to move forward or set out on a journey. And the idea is that you can do this with any house or any planet in the chart, but usually it's the ascendant, the rising sign. And what we do is we say that at birth, your ascendant is, so to speak, on itself at age zero. When you're born, you are age zero. And it stays there for 1 year. When you turn 1 year old, the ascendant advances and becomes your natal second house at age one. Then at age two, it advances and we treat your third house as an ascendant. And we go around the chart again and again like this. And the idea is that your life takes on the themes of each of these houses in order. It goes through a cyclical process, and for any year of your life will be partly about that house that you land on, whatever age that happens to be, whatever house that is. And then any planets in that house will further color the year, its qualities, its emotions, its events. The houses they rule will be brought into that sign of the year. And then there's a planet called the Lord of the Year, which is the planet that rules that sign. So, for example, let's suppose that you are age 46, and everyone at age 46 comes to the 11th house, just because that's how the counting works. And let's suppose that your 11th house is Scorpio, which traditionally is ruled by Mars. Now, what that means is that for this year, your life, because we're perfecting the ascendant, your life is going to be about 11th house matters, friendships, hopes, that sort of thing. And the Lord of the Year, the planet that manages those affairs, is Mars. So suppose that your Mars is in the 9th. Well, that means this year, the year is about 11th house things, it's about Scorpio things. And because Mars rules it, there's going to be martial activity, and it'll be related to the 9th house. So we might say you make friends with some foreigners. Or maybe there are some ventures that you have great hopes for, and they're going to be connected with 9th house issues like religion or foreigners. So this is a really useful thing, and it's extremely accurate. And one of the benefits of it is this is used along with other techniques to help you screen out some of the noise in the chart. I mean, we all have that experience of looking at the chart, and there's all of these lines and all of these symbols, and you can easily get lost. But if you know that your time lord for this year is this one particular planet, it gives you something to focus on, and that can really help your reading be stronger.
I learned that from your Persian trilogies in the installment by Abu Ma'ashar, where you gave us a lot of tips to help us separate the wheat from the chaff, as it were. And you referred to perfections as the bread and butter technique. So in your experience, that it has great power to describe what will happen in a native's life over a course of a year or so.
Absolutely. I think if anyone wants to learn any predictive technique in traditional astrology, or even if you do modern astrology, learn perfections, and you will be amazed. You learn perfections with the traditional house meanings, and you will be amazed how your life repeats itself.
Well,
and how accurate it is.
The thing that amazes me about perfections, Dr. Dykes, is that they seem to operate almost totally liberated of transits. It's almost as if it's a permutation of the chart itself.
Yeah.
That's what That's what, and we can apparently do these over months and days as well, can't we, Dr. Dykes?
Yeah, there are people who break, you know, for example, in that example of the age 46 coming to the 11th house, then there, what some people do, and, you know, ancient folks describe this, you break down the year into 12 months, each of which involves a profection. So Scorpio would not only be age 46 itself, but it would also be the first month of age 46. And then the next sign would be the second month of age 46. So that you get, I don't know if fractals are the right way to look at it, but you get this patterning where you get a zodiac within a zodiac within a zodiac for a specific amount of time. You get these permutations, like you said.
Amazing. We'll talk about the philosophy behind that a little bit later in the interview. What I want to ask you now is, do we use topical houses for this, Dr. Dykes, or should we begin our perfections from the axial degree of the ascendant?
Well, I use whole sign houses, and I'm not sure if your audience has heard of those before, so maybe I'll just explain it very quickly.
Okay.
Whole sign houses simply mean that the sign itself is the house. Because anciently, each sign was called the house or domicile of a particular planet. So Scorpio is the house of Mars, they would say. And what this means is that if your ascendant falls, let's say, on Gemini, then all of Gemini, both the parts above the axial degree and below it, everything in Gemini is the first house because it's the first sign. And then everything in Cancer would be the second house because Cancer is the second sign. So if you read houses using whole sign houses, which was very ancient, you can do profections using whole sign houses. Some people use their normal Placidus houses or Regiomontanus, and they count those houses. Other people do them in 30-degree increments from the ascendant. But the oldest way is to use whole sign houses, and that's the one that I do.
Okay. This is of very extremely, I mean, it's just a whole bunch of stuff. I want to remind everyone that you can find Traditional Astrology for Today at bendykes.com, and it'll bring you up to speed on all of this without a doubt. But the time, Lord, that we identify with the profession, the Lord of the Year, yep. How important is the Lord of the Year in determining events that might happen to us or people that we might meet? How does the Lord of the Year rank, for example, when compared to the Firdaria Time Lord and other Time Lords? I think we're talking about a hierarchy of Time Lords here. What rank is the perfection?
Well, the Lord of the Year is extremely important. And since perfections were a primary Time Lord technique, I would say you would always want to pay attention to the Lord of the Year. For one thing, if the Lord of the Year is in some other house, it's the first indication of what other areas of life the year will be connected with. If you use transits, you'd want to pay attention to the transits of that Lord of the Year. So that Lord of the Year's behavior over the year will matter. Other planets' transits to the natal position of the Lord of the Year will give some timing. But so it is very important. And Abu Mishar gives some indications that, see, what they did was there was a kind of hierarchy of techniques, and there was something called distributions that was generally considered to be the most high level at the top. Then below that was profections and solar returns, and below that, transits. So transits were more like triggers of the other techniques. The Firdaria were treated a bit separately, I guess because they arose separately. So, for example, Ptolemy talks about transits and solar returns, well, not so much solar returns, profections, distributions. He has another technique, too. But these Firdaria arose separately from the Persians, and it's hard to know exactly how to integrate them. Mm-hmm. one way to do it could be this. Suppose that you are in a 8-year Venus period. Venus rules 8 years of the Fridaria. So for 8 years, Venus is your this main Fridaria lord. Well, you might want to track your perfections, because if at some point during those 8 years your perfections come to a house ruled by Venus, now you've got two techniques saying that now she is the Time Lord. So it might be that during those 8 years that you're waiting, wondering what Venus, you know, what this Time Lord is about, that the things will become more intensified during that particular year, that the perfections also show Venus. So you get broader and narrower periods with the same Time Lord. It intensifies the effect.
Would you say that the Lord, is it safe to say that the Lord of the Year is almost like a symbolic surrogate of the native, the individual, and that, or is that incorrect to say?
No, that's good. I mean, it's the Lord of the whole year, so it's not just the Lord of the person. But what we're doing by perfection is we are perfecting the ascendant, and classically, the ascendant is you. So it's almost like the planets are taking turns managing your life, and the system of rulerships is sort of a preordained way in which they or God, the divine mind has sort of ordained that the planets will cooperate in this order. So they're taking turns, and in fact, that's what some of the Latin translators translated it as. They were taking their turn at ruling a period of life.
Hmm. Well, we've talked a lot about how individuals are influenced by these Time Lords. There is some mention in the literature for Time Lords influencing collectives, like nations and things of that nature. And I wanted to perhaps get your thoughts about this. Are Time Lords specifically for the individuals, or would a collective, like a company or a nation even, or some other collective, also be influenced by Time Lords?
Seems to me you could also do, well, and they did, do mundane perfections. They certainly used mundane perfections. So what they were often interested in was how events were embedded in the Saturn-Jupiter conjunctions that happen almost every 20 years. And so what they did was they tried to correlate events on Earth with certain kinds of conjunctions and certain kinds of signs. And when you had a conjunction, for example, let's say there was a Saturn-Jupiter conjunction in Gemini, there was a certain time they would cast the chart for, and then they would do mundane perfections from Gemini for the next 20 years, because that's how long the conjunction period lasts. And then they would try to interpret what was going on in the nation at that time. So maybe if the perfection came to the eighth house of the chart they had, it was a dangerous time for the nation. Or maybe financial concerns would be really important if it came to the second house. So that's the kind of thing that they would do. That was really done by the Persians, so far as we know. The older Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, they didn't do those mundane perfections. But all of a sudden, with the Arabic translations that appeared in the 700s, all of these techniques appeared fully formed, brought over to Baghdad by Persian astrologers. So they were taking natal techniques and applying them in this new kind of mundane astrology.
Very interesting, Dr. Dykes. We're going to take a one-minute break here in a little bit, and when we get back, I would like to ask you about some of the philosophy behind the system of Time Lords.
I'd
like to remind everyone that you can find Dr. Dykes at bendykes.com. We will be right back in 1 minute.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Welcome back to the Psychic Viewpoint. We have here Dr. Benjamin Dykes, a philosopher, translator, scholar, astrologer, and a whole lot more from bendykes.com. Well, Dr. Dykes, so far we've been talking about, we've been defining what Time Lords are and discussing some of the different systems. But people have to be asking themselves right now, where do I fit into all of this? I thought that I was the sheriff in Stephen County, and now all of a sudden, I'm a donkey following a carrot on a stick. Even the president, where's my free will?
Mm-hmm. Let's deal with the free will issue really quickly, and then maybe we can look at some of the bigger picture. Traditional astrology, when we look at things like Time Lords, for example, and I say that Venus rules your life for a certain amount of time, it uses what I call a determinism of types. That is to say, the chart can't tell you every single detail about what's going on, but it can only tell you the types of things that are happening and the types of things that will go on. How you handle that and how you can steer that is up to you. Now, not everything is in our control. Lots of things aren't in our control. But the chart, for example, can't tell me how many times I'm going to chew some food or how many steps it takes to the mailbox or anything like that. And there's lots of leeway when I say Venus is going to rule your life for the next 6 years. Well, a lot can happen in 6 years. There are a lot of choices that you can make in 6 years. Nevertheless, the period will be Venusian. So this doesn't take away from our ability to choose at all. So I guess that's the first thing I want to say. But it is humbling to know that we are part of a bigger, intelligible picture. So there is something humbling about it as well. I think one way to understand some of the ancient attitudes towards this material comes from Plato. And the idea in Plato is that our changeable material world, where we live our lives, has a kind of substructure to it, an eternal substructure made of these special eternal entities, which sometimes he called forms, sometimes he called ideas. And if you like, some of the Platonists identified this structure with the mind of God or the divine mind. So that we live in time, we live in a world of change, we live in a world of life and death. All of that is contained eternally, so to speak, in the intelligible divine mind. What we do in astrology when we cast, let's say, a birth chart, is we are getting a time slice. We're getting a time-based representation of something that is eternally in God's mind or in this cosmic mind. What astrology does is it's a way that the divine mind uses to communicate to us what is going on and what our lives are about. So the astrology is a kind of communication. And in fact, Plato talks about how the configurations of the stars are a way that the divine soul speaks to us. So one way to look at astrology is it is a communication about the about our who we are, where we fit into the universe, where we fit into the divine mind generally, and also what things are really possible for us, given the fact that we live in this world of change, and so on.
Well, it seems, I tell you what's humbling for me, Dr. Dykes, is this notion that by being born, I've stumbled into some sort of divine automation system. You know, that instead of, you know, the divine mind, I used to think that until I read your books, Dr. Dykes, I used to think that the divine mind, you know, woke up every day and said, well, I wonder what Stephen Lewis is doing. Let me check up on Stephen. And here it come to find out, you know, the divine mind can influence me in a number of ways without even thinking about me. I wanted to get your thoughts about these systems of Time Lords in terms of perhaps this being some sort of an automated system for the divine mind. I just wanted to get your opinion about that idea.
Well, to go back to Plato for a minute, what Plato describes in this book of his called the Timaeus, it's his book about the creation of the universe. It's a very late book, and it's the one where he talks about each one of us having a planetary angel and the divine soul communicating to us. All of this stuff is included in that book. And what he says is that one of the purposes of this world of forms and inserting this kind of orderliness into the world is that it makes life intelligible. And to say that the world is kind of like this automated system, was the phrase that you used, you could take that in a bad way. We're just in this automated machine. But what Plato was saying is that by introducing this kind of intelligible, meaningful order, including through astrology, it benefits us because it gives us the benefit of knowledge and self-knowledge. And that is a good thing. So, I'm not sure if that answers your question. That's the Platonist view of things. But it means that you are being invited through astrology to participate in the life that this intelligible order or God's mind has introduced into the world. There are limitations on what each of us can do, simply because we live in a world of time and matter, but we're being invited to participate with that mind and consciously be happy through our own self-knowledge and deliberate choices. So it's a kind of invitation for Plato.
Fair enough. That is that's a very helpful way of looking at it, for sure. I want to ask you now, Dr. Dykes, about hostile changeovers. Abu Mashar wrote at length about that, and you translated his thoughts as far as what happens when we have a chain of hostile or malefic planets or time lords that are handing over rulership for the period of time. Now, my question to you is, as a practicing astrologer, you know, I see clients and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, you know, they're going through several different time, you know, for the next 27 years, they're going to have malefic time lords. What do we tell the client? What do we do in situations like that? How do we make the best out of that situation?
Well, the first thing to remember is that when you have a client, you shouldn't be shy about recognizing problems that they're already having or have had in the past. Usually, because there's so much, so many people want to stick to the positive, that many clients feel despair because no one's recognizing the real problems that they're having. Right. So we shouldn't be afraid to address these issues. Secondly, malefic planets and malefic configurations, sometimes there's nothing you can do about them. But sometimes malefics can give us, can be beneficial to us. They can be helpful. They can give us leadership qualities, especially if we decide to personally take charge of those malefics in our lives. Again, we can't control everything. But if you are having a martial period, and you know, the response should not be to hide quivering in your room. The response should be to address issues of anger in your life, formulate a plan, talk, you know, be honest with yourself about risks that you take, so that it will be a martial period, but you are not a victim, and you certainly don't have to be a victim. Your life happens because you're the one living it. So sometimes we do have to give bad news. But I'll tell you, if I could, an example of a client of mine, where at first I thought, oh, geez, what am I going to tell him? Because what I found was, I think six of his planets were in detriment or fall, which is a bad condition to be in. Although he had some receptions between them that kind of mitigated that. And when a planet is in dissension or fall or detriment, it often means that things don't work out the way that you want, you don't get recognition, or ventures that you enter into kind of fall apart or take a lot of work to keep together. So I was looking at a chart that just said disintegration all over the place. So I was thinking about what to say to him. And he said that he was in a job, successful job, but it involved him traveling all over the world, and he would have short contracts of maybe 2 years in this place, then he would move to another country, work for 1 year, and so on. And he was worried because of all these planets in detriment and fall that meant change. So he was calling me up worried, and I said, well, but do you like this job? Do you like the change that it gives you? And he says, actually, I love it. I said, well, then this is not a problem. The chart is describing that things don't last long and there will be lots of change. But if you're the kind of person who can handle that, then this chart is something that works very well for you, even though detriment and fall are normally bad things for most people. So some of it involves asking the person what they really want, and you might find out that a malefic planet or some planet in detriment is not really contrary to the kinds of things they want.
One of the reasons why I like to promote your work so much and encourage people to read your books is because it leads one to other translators and other philosophers like James Holden and Robert Schmidt, etc. And in doing that, I learned about this relationship between matter and form, what the translators called hule and eidon, or eidos. Mm-hmm. I just remember the word. And so I wanted to ask you, Dr. Dykes, if there's a way we could leverage this, because allow me to recount the idea. You know, let's say we have a system like the Firdaria, where Saturn could be ruling a larger period, and he'll have a sub-period ruler. The idea being that the matter of Saturn is offered up to take the form of the sub-period ruler. So I wanted to get your idea about this. Let's say we have a very challenging period that we have to get through. Is there any way, let's say we have Mars as the major time lord, and is there any way we can take the negative matter and find some positive form to offer it up to another time lord, for example, like with the Firdaria, if that makes sense? It's a rather complicated concept. You see where I'm going with this?
No, it makes sense. Now, they did not use that language, but it can be a helpful thing. If a major time lord is like a kind of flexible matter or a general theme, that word eidos is actually Plato's word for form or idea. And you could think of it as structure. So if you have a Saturn period, that has general qualities that will describe the period, but it gets structured different ways and becomes specified through the various sublords. So that is a useful way to think about it. So you might have a Saturn period that has certain general qualities that we know from what Saturn means, but it takes on martial events or involves martial people or Venusian people and Venusian events. I think to find the best periods, is sometimes a matter of finding which planets fit really well together, like Jupiter and the Sun fit really well together. Saturn is a little more tricky, but again, this is where we have to go beyond the generic structure that all diurnal people or all lunar people have, and looking at what your chart means. I can think of a specific example. Saturn, Mars. This is in a different technique, but it works very similar. Saturn was the main time lord. Mars was the sub-lord, or what they call the partnering lord. And so, because Saturn is the general time lord, it shows being alone, gloomy, maybe impoverished, hardworking, all of this kind of thing. Right. Well, during that Mars period, Mars was the sub-lord or partnering lord, he was in graduate school, and he was alone a lot of the time, working hard, all of these Saturnian things. And he found that because Mars is a travel planet, anciently, he found that people were coming in and out of his life all of the time. There was lots of change and fluctuation. And that was hard. However, Mars was the lord of his ascendant and was in the 10th house, which is a place, which is a, that's a situation that shows great ambition. And so even though he was lonely, and even though people were moving in and out of his life, and he was working hard, he was building a career that he was able to use later. And all that time, he knew that he was fulfilling his ambitions. So if we just looked at Saturn and Mars by themselves, we might think, oh man, this is awful. But if Mars is doing something really important and good in your chart, then mixed with those difficulties will be something very valuable.
Right. That's what makes it all worthwhile.
Pardon?
Oh, that's what makes it all worthwhile, I would imagine. It would be the
helping people recognize that, too. Which is another interesting feature of Time Lords, that they have expiration dates.
Well, you know what, Dr. Dykes, out of all the authors and notable scholars on this material, you seem to be the most sympathetic toward modern astrologers, and you seem very welcoming to them. Let's say that a modern astrologer or someone trained in modern techniques is listening to this material. What might you say to them to sort of ease them into this? For example, is there any way to fit the outer planets into these Time Lord schemes in any way? That sort of thing.
Into the Time Lord schemes, I don't think so. Simply because they are based on principles of rulership that the outer planets don't fit into. I do know that some of my traditional friends who are professionals do use the outer planets, but they really restrict what they can do. For example, they won't let Uranus rule Aquarius. He has no rulership there. Instead, Uranus becomes kind of like a fast-moving fixed star. So, for example, if Uranus is in the 11th, that doesn't mean anything. But if Uranus was on the cusp of the 11th, well, that would mean something. So they give the outer planets really tight orbs and no rulerships. So we kind of restrict their meanings. Actually, I think one of the best pieces of advice that any modern, curious modern person could try out is take 6 months and take the outer planets out of all the charts that you cast. And for many people, that's very scary. So, all right, try it for 3 months. You can put them back when you're done. But I promise you that you will suddenly become reacquainted with planetary meanings and house rulerships that normally an addiction to the outer planets completely obscures.
Yeah, I agree. I tried it, and it was easy to break my addiction to the outer planets. And now that I come back to study them, I learn a lot more about them. But as we come into the end of our interview here, Dr. Dykes, I wanted to ask you what you have on your schedule these days. For example, are you accepting clients these days, or does your schedule permit it?
I'm going to start taking clients again in 2015. I needed to take some time off to finish some projects, but I'll start taking them again in 2015. And in 2015, I'm going to start releasing my Arabic series along with some other things. I have a whole series of Arabic manuscripts that I'm working on. And hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll also see a new book from Greek, the existing works of Theophilus of Edessa, who was the last Greek-speaking astrologer, and he died in the 700s. So he represents the end of the tradition and the transition over to the Arabs in a certain sense. And he wrote on military astrology.
Your reach into this field is... your reach into this field is absolutely amazing and comprehensive. I marvel at your ability to translate the Latin, and also the Arabic had to have been quite difficult. In reading over this literature, I had to hazard a guess. Which tradition would you say offers the richest body of lore dealing with Time Lords? Or are they all equal in that regard, would you say?
I guess I want to say the Arabic period. So we're talking about, the Arabic period and early medieval period, because the early medievals were translating the Arabs. There's all sorts of Time Lord material in Vettius Valens, an ancient Greek writer. He has a huge book with Time Lord systems that we don't even quite understand, much less not having tried them. But he was only one author, and he was not very influential on the rest of the tradition. So if people want to learn about Time Lords, the people who talk about them the most are the Arabs and Persians and early medieval Latins.
Let me ask you real quickly, Dr. Dykes, is there any application for perfections in Time Lord systems in horary astrology, purely divinatory asking a question astrology? Am I going to get this money, or am I going to get this person, etc.?
I can't think offhand of anyone using perfections for that. Usually what they do is they look at transits, or they look at the number of degrees between two planets, and they turn that into a number, into a unit of time. I can't think of seeing perfections in a horary chart, but I'm sure someone's done it.
Wow. You know, Dr. Dykes, we have covered an amazing amount of material this evening. You have expressed some very complicated ideas quite lucidly and cogently. We can find you at bendykes.com. We can pick up all your books from there, right? You also have a Logos and Light lecture series that I think people might be interested in. And also, if you're interested in this material and find it a little mind-boggling, I highly recommend Traditional Astrology for Today, which is extremely illuminating, both as to the technical ends of what we're talking about and also dealing with the philosophy behind it. So please elaborate a little bit more, Dr. Dykes. How can we get your books? How can we contact you if we need you, etc.?
You can find my books on Amazon. You can also go to bendykes.com. I have a lot of audio workshops, audio lectures. And my email is also on my webpage. If I could just say one quick word about Traditional Astrology for Today, because you've mentioned that. It's a short book of about 100 to 125 pages, and I specifically designed it for curious modern people who just want to get their toes wet, who don't want to have to make a big financial or time commitment to learn a little bit more what is all this traditional stuff about and why are people excited about it. So that would be a good place to start if you're just curious and want to see what's going on. I think the longest chapter is maybe 5 pages, and I designed it that way, and I would recommend that as a starting place.
Let me just add that I've been studying astrology for quite a bit, and I continually go back to, and I've reread traditional astrology for today. So it has a lot to offer both the beginner and someone who's not a beginner. Well, Dr. Dykes, unfortunately, we have run out of time. I want to thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
Hey, happy holidays to you, Dr. Dykes. We'll chat with you later.
You too. Sounds good. Bye.
All right. Bye. Okay, everyone, thank you very much for that. We will be back to get the banter here in a little bit, but I have a few announcements first. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you couldn't get to our last week's show, you'll find the recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. What we want to do is to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link. Also, while you're sharing that link, visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal to soulmate seeking to psychic development. That is psychicbloggers.com. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you will find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with his or her own unique gifts. Every psychic on the site has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, now it's time to get my co-host's impressions on the interview and the interview topic. Let's start with Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Stephen.
Well, first of all, I wanted to start with you because, you know, I have to acknowledge that this interview would not have happened were it not for your attention to the matter. So, you know, thanks for that. It was really great. So what did you think about the interview?
I really enjoyed it. I think he's an incredible astrologer, Stephen. You first told me about Dr. Dykes and his work and all of the ancient astrologers and this whole field of traditional astrology. And I'm just in heaven working my way through all of that. So he's an amazing guy. But I was really pleased that he just delivers things in such a straightforward, understandable way. It's always a challenge with astrology, whether you're with a client or you're talking about astrology on the radio. You have to make sure that people can follow, and I thought he did a brilliant job of that as well.
I did too. I mean, it's really difficult to explain these concepts cogently and lucidly, but the thing about perfections is that they're so easy, but it's just difficult to explain them. You know, once you get it, it's with you for life.
Yes, yeah. And I know, Stephen, that we've had discussions on the telephone about the different schools of thought in the field of astrology, that all of the different techniques that are available to actually calculate specifically what's most likely to happen at any point in time with a client. And I'm really enjoying just using all of them because you can actually have them like a toolkit when you're with a client or you're preparing for a client or answering a question on Psychic Access. You can literally pick one of the tools, see what results you get, what information you get from that tool, and then use another and a couple more to get more granularity or a confirmation, and they all just come together and work together so well. And really, it enables us now to provide not only good answers to clients' questions. In other words, saying, oh, yes, you will find a great relationship. And it's like, it feels like the next 2 years. When we combine that toolkit, Stephen, we're able to move in like a laser beam and identify very closely when something will occur. So it's incredible. It's a science.
It is, and I can't really stress enough for the people listening how easy it is. I mean, there are calculators on the internet for you to pop in your birth date, and it'll give you the sequence of Firdaria Time Lord. So your entire life will be rendered into one big spoiler alert. I'm serious. It's almost disappointing, the power of this to reveal things in your life. You know, if you're the type of person who likes things to just sort of surprise you, you know, like things spontaneous, then studying the Time Lord systems is really going to make you upset, because they have an incredible power to describe your future. Dr. Nona Marie, I wanted to get your opinions and insights into this material.
Well, I think it's fantastic material. And I also think, though, that you really need a classy, wonderful, educated astrologer to help with this, because I was looking at just some generic material about Time Lords. And based on my conversations with you in astrology, according to the generic, for example, description of being under Venus for a period of time should be a wonderful time period for you in your chart. However, if your Venus is afflicted, then it's not going to be a great time. So I think it really has to be emphasized that you really need a great astrologer to take this material and put it into proper context. And sometimes people get into problems with things like astrology when they read generic horoscopes and then go, why doesn't it fit me? Well, because it's generic and we don't have enough information to know how to really put all the pieces together. So people like yourself and Steve Frampton and Dr. Dykes become invaluable in taking the kind of generic concepts and theories and really being able to apply them skillfully and with artistry in a way that's extremely helpful. I found this kind of work, I found the work that you do with your astrology and using these Time Lords absolutely invaluable. And he explained it very, very well. And it's great that people get interested in it, but people have to, I think, also understand that you really need to then know more about it so you don't get frustrated and say it's inaccurate.
That is true. Very good observation. And it's interesting when we see these principles at work for nations, Nona Marie, you know, working through the perfections of the United States horoscope and correlating that with the current events that are happening now. Very interesting. America is in an 11th house year this year, which in America's chart, the 11th house has Saturn in it. And in various ways, that lone planetary placement describes the Bill Cosby controversy, describes also the removal of Chuck Hagel from office, in my opinion. And mm-hmm. So, you know, the perfections, the Time Lord rulers, these aren't just individual things, but they influence the entire mass. And they're definitely important. They have inordinate influence over our lives. They determine when we get married, when we get divorced, when we travel. A lot of it's really amazing. Lauren, I wanted to get your reaction to tonight's interview and hear your opinions about the topic.
I thought the topic was fascinating. I love astrology. I don't know anything about it, and every time I try to look into it, I feel more special. So I love the fact that you and Stephen and gentlemen like him are so knowledgeable in this, and I feel like this is something that people could do, but it's definitely wonderful to be able to go to someone with the knowledge and the years of experience to ask them these questions, because I am one of those people that read your horoscope and like, wait, this makes no sense.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to make sense until it's customized for you personally. That's one good thing about this, Lauren, is that for some of these Time Lord techniques, you know, you don't really have to have a precise, perfect birth time. You know what I mean? A big decision right off the bat is, you know, all you have to know is just whether or not you were born at night or during the day. It's amazing, don't you think, how that one little thing, being born at night or during the day, can have such a huge sway over the events that happen in your life.
And that was when I looked at that and just kind of looking on the generic side of the website to find out where I am. So So I'd love to learn more about what the planetary alignment means. And does that mean my butt's going to get kicked for next year? Or the gods and the planets going to be merciful?
Well, so one thing that's very interesting about this stuff is that very often the system of Time Lord rulership periods, they correspond very naturally with the ages in your life. But you know, you're a young woman, you're a young human being rather, you know, in the prime of your life, and Mars very much is appropriate for that heightened activity. To establish yourself in the world and protection over your family and things of that nature. So, you know, all of these Time Lords, they have a lot to teach us. And, you know, it's my opinion, Lauren, that even the most negative era or season in a person's life, we can extract the good out of it. And if you contact someone who is knowledgeable about this stuff, and, you know, if you go to psychicaccess.com, Steve or myself, you know, Dr. Nona Marie, if she gets into this, there are a number of astrologers there, or any astrologer, they can advise you on how to extract the maximum good out of the period while minimizing any negativity. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, Lauren, you know, what you thought about that in terms of, I suppose, manifesting the negative aspects of the period in a positive way.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I don't believe for myself that really anything is negative. It's always a tool for you to learn. And even when it feels like you have been hit by a tornado and then a tsunami and then an earthquake, it really kind of gives you those moments to look at yourself. I almost call that the gap. You're not where you were and you're not where you want to be. So you're in that in between of that time to really pull in what you're moving towards. And it gives you that time to look at it. It's letting go of everything you don't need anymore, people, relationships, jobs. It's kind of being shaken to the core, but at the end you come out so much stronger, and really it's a blessing at the end. In the middle, it might feel like you're going 12 rounds with Mike Tyson, but at the end you're like, thank you, Lord.
It's a learning experience. Yeah.
And the good thing is hopefully to learn from it and not repeat it again. So
it's so interesting, Lauren. You know, when you read the literature about what the moon means, you always hear things like works on boats, sailing, working on docks, working near the water, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I happen to have my moon in a water sign, and it's in the 10th house of career, right? Now, this was before I knew much about astrology, and I was having a 10th house year. Wouldn't you know it? I went to work at sea in that year, in that very year. Now, you know, going back and looking over my life retrospectively, seeing that, I was a little upset. You know what I'm saying? Because at the time, I thought that I was making, I thought that I was in charge of myself. But now I felt kind of like a robot, an automaton. Like, oh my God, it's so. And I think what it does, Lauren, is it explains the different impulses and urges that come up with it from within us, and also from outside of us as well. So this is all I thought very pertinent stuff to know. So you're in a Mars period, eh? How does that make you feel?
I think I'm in Mars and Venus, so I think Mars is bringing all the attention to my relationships.
Yeah.
And if that is not the truth, I am being, I was telling before the show, I feel like a turkey with a baster that's popped. Feel like I'm really looking at every single personal, you know, relationship with children, relationships with business, relationship with career. So every part of that right now and for the next year is affected. And it's a good thing because it really makes you look at what do I want, where have I been, what do I not want or want to tolerate in my life anymore, and what do I want going forward. So it really is a positive thing, even though I feel like a turkey that's popped.
Well, you know, I mean, Mars paired with Venus classically is a pretty positive indication for romance, you know, Lauren, believe it or not.
All right.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know. And it kind of makes sense in a way, you know, if two principles that are so opposite are put together, certainly good things ought to happen from it, right? They're fighting like cats and dogs, Mars and Venus. Well, Steve, you know, I wanted to ask you this real fast before I pass out the number for the call-ins. I do believe you are having a fourth house year. So aren't you having a – wouldn't you say you're having – because you and I are the same age, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're having a fourth house year. You're about to have a fifth house year. When you go, I don't know if you've gone back to apply the perfections to your chart, but do you have any particular set of Time Lord rulerships that you have a special place in your heart for, that you are particularly attracted to?
In terms of what's coming up in my life?
Well, yeah, is there, for example, I know for myself, I'm looking forward to the sun period coming up, and you've got that coming up for yourself, too.
Well, I think, though, that, Stephen, I agree with you, and I follow it, but I think also, I always look back at the relationship I have with the planet. You know, going back to the natal chart and saying, well, if I'm going to have a sun year, what's the quality of my sun? Because I think that a sun year for one person would be very different than for another person if they've got very different suns in their charts with different aspects. And so my sun is, well, it's peregrine, it's a little bit lost, and it doesn't have good aspects, in my opinion, at all. So I'm not so sure I am looking forward to the sun year, to be honest with you, but I anticipate that there'll be issues with male members of the family. That may, you know, my father or my stepfather, for example, things like that. And certainly because my son is in the fourth house, it could well be that maybe that's, I move at that point in time, because I am looking to relocate probably twice. So it is, it's just fascinating, because the more you work with astrology, the more you can just explain, validate everything that's occurring, and also see what's coming up energetically so that you can manage things.
Yes, that's, I think, is its primary value, because, you know, understanding just a little bit about the Time Lords really gives you a lot of power over anticipating when life's going to hand you a bunch of lemons, you know?
Sure, and it does. Yes. It does at times.
It definitely does. And, you know, anticipating it, we can also know the source of the problems. We can understand the contours of the problems, what the problems are going to be about. And, you know, understanding the problems in advance definitely helps us understand the solution in advance. Now, I'd like to just go ahead and pass out the call-in number before we move on to Dr. Nona Marie and hear some more of her opinions on the subject matter. The call-in number so you can get your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, that number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just try to relax and listen to the show while you wait. You'll be able to hear it while you're waiting. So once you get onto the air, we ask that you are very clear and direct with your question, because we can only take one question per person in the interests of getting to all the calls that are in the queue. So with that said, that number again is 724-444-4851. Now, Dr. Nona Marie, I wanted to sort of, and this might be a little bit of a difficult question, but you know, you psychologically, you know, the perfection says that at heart, it says that, you know, every so many years, we marry the same person again. You know, every 12 years, we, you know, do such and such again. Psychologically, how important are these cycles in our lives? And, you know, we've talked about these Time Lords as spiritual entities, but, you know, what can we make out of this stuff psychologically, do you think? And I realize, you know, that some of these concepts are kind of new to you, but I'm just curious what maybe your opinions on the matter might be.
Well, really great questions.
It's a hard one, I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but it's really good also, because it kind of applies to the whole field of getting readings as well. And I really can't emphasize enough the idea of, with readings, that we also have surrender and acceptance. And what I mean by that is our little brains are so programmed a certain way, and part of coming into life and being in a human body is evolution, meaning that we transcend our history, we transcend our genetics, we transcend our childhood and all the psychology that we've inherited from that. So, for example, some of the dangers I've seen with readings are I've had clients where I say, oh, this is a period of romance for you, which we can say, for example, with when you're talking to Lauren with Mars and Venus, or if somebody's under a Time Lord of Venus. Well, what can happen is that I've had clients say, oh, well, I'm supposed to be in love. They run off and marry the first person they meet. Yeah. And person is a nightmare. And it there's a great lesson in there. But sometimes we can use this kind of interpretive material, and then we interpret it through our old brain that is just about to go through an evolutionary leap. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
It really does. It makes a lot of sense because, you know, the cyclical nature of this stuff means you're going to get tested on the same exam over and over and over again.
Exactly. And numerology, which is what I have used most of the time, along with Akashic record type material, and it always matches astrology. I just haven't mastered astrology like you and Steve have at all. You guys are phenomenal. But there is this concept that we come in with a life lesson, and we cycle around this theme song most of our life. And it doesn't mean we're retarded or stupid. It just means that's the main thing that we came to work on. And we're going to come at it from a lot of different angles, from success, from failure, from hardship, from easiness, etc. And we also come in with a destiny that we cycle around as well. So when we go through these Time Lords, I just think it's absolutely brilliant the way that life is created for us to learn and grow and evolve. And the part that readings for me that make it so wonderful is that we can understand when the trail itself is hard versus when we're making it hard. And
yeah.
Making that distinction for me has saved my life for a number of times, because I stop beating myself up saying, oh, I'm screwing up. And I can say, oh, this is a really hard trail, and I'm doing a great job on a very hard trail. And I picked this hard trail in order to learn something either about myself or how I handle myself in life, etc. And that's what I think the Time Lords would be the most wonderful for, is they help guide us on where to focus our learning rather than using them to look at how can I get what I want to get, which is what most of us humans do. And that's extremely helpful. Like what you're learning under a Saturn Time Lord is going to be completely different what you're learning under a Venus Time Lord.
Yep.
And if we look at learning, and of course, if you're learning, you have to surrender. Like when you go in to get a tennis lesson, you don't argue with your tennis teacher how to do a serve. You listen to your teacher, and you fall down a lot and you screw up until you master it. And that's how I think we need to use things like astrology, is that we use the planetary influences as our wonderful teachers, and we let them kind of push us around a little bit until we get in the groove of learning for that cycle. That's how I approach it.
I tell you, Dr. Nona Marie, if I had a nickel for every time, I mean, it's just amazing how when I'm talking to my clients and they describe I'm taking their history from them, it amazes me how their life really conforms to these periods. Do you know what I mean? I've had clients say, you know, such and such a period was the time of my greatest recognition. It was such a marvelous time. I don't know what happened afterwards, but for that 10 years, and come to find out, they were in a sun period, and right to the exact right to the day, when the problems stop or begin, you see that they've entered into or closed out a period. So it's really amazing. Now, Dr. Nona Marie, actually, we have a caller come through now for you from Georgia.
Is this Georgia, the USA, or the Soviet Union? I'm kidding. Hi, Georgia, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, what's your name?
Monique.
Oh, do we have you?
Monique.
Hi, Monique. What's your question?
I have my love life. I want to focus on my love life. What's my love life looking for the future? Who will that be in my next relationship?
And do you have a name for this love life, or are you just kind of fishing?
Fishing.
Okay. I would say to you, actually, in a way, to me, you're a little bit like Pac-Man. You know that game Pac-Man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So to me, you're like hungry. You're just going around like hungry, like wanting to chomp down on something, on a love life, and as if that's going to solve some problems for you or fix your life or get it back on track. So I would say to you that right now, you're not going to get a love life. You can have affairs. You will be able to go out and have a lot of flings and, you know, short runs with men. But right now, your lesson is quite different. So it's kind of like you're asking me about, can you have candy? And I'm going to say to you, no, the universe wants you to eat your vegetables. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I know you don't like this answer. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. But I would say to you right now, you're a little uncentered. So that your focus needs to be on getting your feet planted more firmly in the ground, get your friendships in order, because you got a lot of stuff going on with your friendships, and get in a better relationship with your higher power, whatever you believe in. And once you do that, you will find a couple of long-term relationships, sort longer, like a year or so, two of them, and then you will find a more solid relationship after that. But right now, you're running around chasing, you know, the little bouncing ball, and you're kind of off track with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I'm not in a relationship right now. I just wondering. I've been single for a while now, so.
I understand. You got a little bit of that coming up still for a while. So I would say, you know, when life doesn't give us what we want, we make lemonade out of the lemons. So start going out and having friends with your friend, with your girlfriends. And you might also start looking at getting yourself a hobby or something that grabs your interest, so that not everything is resting on, I wish I had a guy. That stuff has to get in order first before the universe is going to give you a relationship. Because right now, relationship, if it came into your life, it would be the focus, the entire focus of your life, and that's not healthy. Okay.
So
if you take what I say to heart and you start kind of building another life for yourself, having a good life, pretending there's no guy, I'm just going to get on with my life, in 2 years, there will be a man coming in. However, if you don't do this and you keep going out with guys and having affairs, that will take a longer time than for a solid relationship to come in.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Okay,
I'm sorry,
you.
It's not better news, but it, you know, at least it's not horrible news, like, you know, your house is going to get flooded and your car is going to blow up, and, you know, it's not the worst news, but I know it's very frustrating news.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, sweetie.
Thank you.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. If you would like a reading from Dr. Nona Marie, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Also, I have a very important announcement to make. Christmas week, next week, we will not have a show. The Psychic Viewpoint will resume the week after that. Very important. Mark that on your calendars, please. Next week, there will be no Psychic Viewpoint. We'll be taking that week off, and we'll return next week, the week after. Okay, so by all means, call us up, 724-444-4851 to get your free on-air reading, 724-444-4851. Lauren, we're going to go, I want to ask you a question real quick about the angel readings you mentioned a little bit earlier, because this is, we've talked a lot about astrology tonight and time lords and things of that nature. And, you know, I like to think of these time lords as being kind of angelic in terms of, you know, having a personal interest in us. What do you think about the idea of the spirits being personally involved in our lives and directing us, guiding us, and maybe even sometimes certain ones getting us into a little bit of trouble?
I'd have to agree. Just being able to connect to the angel realm, and realistically, I do believe and I feel that everyone has that ability. Some don't connect and do it, some shut down and some go in. But I really do. Everyone feel like everyone has their guardian angels. Excuse me, sorry for that. They are guided by decisions and paths. When they are tuned into it, they almost can tap in and hear and see or feel that, which they almost kind of go willingly, and they have really that foresight to kind of know the path that they're going on. But I definitely do feel that there is a lot of guidance in our life, being able to see different angels, mm-hmm. different lights. They are all experiences that are wonderful to have. And I do like the idea of that we are guided and protected by angels. And there should be no difference from timekeepers and other entities, or as long as they're all in our highest good and very high vibration, then bring it on. It's welcomed. Yeah. I'll take it all.
Yeah. Well, is that then how you work? You would get the guidance from the angels? And actually, we'll have to table this for a little bit. Let me get back to you on that thought, Lauren, because actually we have a caller coming through from North Carolina for Steve.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from North Carolina?
Hi, this is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. I have a question for you. I was just wondering what you see coming up, or if you see any romantic relationship coming up in the next couple months.
Well, I'm drawn to April. When I was listening to you asking the question, just tuning into your voice, asking for guidance, my mind shot straight through to the month of April of 2015.
Okay.
So I feel that the answer to your question about the next couple of months is no, but I do feel a very encouraging energy around the month of April for you.
Okay. And anybody in particular that is coming, or just...
I'll just tell you a couple of things that I feel. And the first thing I feel is darker hair. So I feel that this person has darker hair. I feel that this person is a professional, because I see in my mind's eye an outfit. I feel like I'm going to a business meeting. But I feel this is somebody that's very nicely dressed and... That's ambitious, successful. That's what I feel. I also get the initial P, but as I said, it feels like April.
Okay. That sounds good.
Well, you're welcome. We wish you lots of luck. Let us know what happens.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Nicole, for calling, and thank you for that reading, Steve. You can find Steve Frampton at psychicaccess.com. Now, Lauren, I did actually want to get your opinion, or at least I wanted to ask you this question about how you work, because it seems pretty pertinent here. I was asking if this is what you do with the angel readings, if you get some of this guidance from the angel and then relay it to the seeker.
Definitely. When doing a reading, shorter times, what I'm really doing is I'm asking the person to say their name three times, and if they're asking for another person to say their name three times so I can connect into their energy and almost kind of follow it like a cord into the other person. So that I feel is more just tapping straight in. I feel like these short calls are like psychic boot camp, right to the point, right to the question. For longer readings, I'm actually able to have angel cards. I actually use four decks, and then I put tarot on top of it, because I do feel angel cards are very broad. Mm-hmm. Pulling one right now just for fun. I'm going to pull one. Let's see. Reward yourself. You've been given a
lot.
Yeah. You've been given a lot of yourself lately, and it's time for you to receive. Make the time to reward yourself. The balance is giving and receiving. It's essential. Can I not talk today? Keeping your energy, mood, and motivations in a constant high level. And when I look at this card, so I will read it, but I actually pick up a bunch of other things on this card. It's just almost telling me to tap more into your inner child. That's time of playfulness, because I do feel a lot of work and responsibility on you, and kind of going back to the playfulness, the fun, the laughing, especially with Christmas coming up too, when you're seeing the toys and the gifts, tapping into that and buying yourself something. I know we all kind of get into that, let's get for everyone else, but also doing it for yourself too.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have ways of verifying your information. You know, like you're using the angel cards, I also use tarot. and astrology. These are all different tools to sort of get at the same information. And Steve, I wanted to ask you about your tarot reading too, because do you ever use tarot to double check your astrological readings or to get more insight from the astrological readings?
I do. I don't use tarot cards a huge amount, Stephen, but I do use, and I find them very useful when I seek some guidance myself, because I find right. that I meditate as I look at each card, and they give me great guidance. When I'm dealing with clients, if I'm giving an astrology reading, for example, what I might do is ask the cards to give me clarification on a question, because astrology is quite complex. And so if you get a question from a client and you don't have a lot of time, then it can be far better to look at the tarot deck for an answer through the images and symbols of the cards rather than doing an astrological analysis.
Yeah, the way I like to analogize it is that, you know, with astrology, I'll have the entire movie of your life from start to finish. But with the tarot, I'll get the trailer, you know, and a lot of times having the trailer is enough to answer a question in terms of what will happen, you know. But it's also nice to have access to the entire movie itself, right?
It's a great way of putting it, actually. It's a great, great analogy. It really is.
It just amazes me how often they really feed into one another. You know, tonight's topic was the Time Lord. You know, they rule a fairly significant period. You know, 8 years, 13 years, 10 years. It varies, and yet we go through life in a series of seconds and minutes that turn into hours, etc. And it's just really amazing how these lower levels, the tarot, how they can really describe what's happening at the higher levels of the Time Lords, you know, where causality begins, the causes behind the events and the people of your life. It begins there, and it's just amazing how the tarot can make it intelligible. That's what amazes me. It's very interesting. Although one thing I've learned by studying this material is I've learned more about the concept of fate than I ever thought could be possible to know. It's such a complex topic, fate. I mean, what is one's fate? You know, there's hereditary fate, you know, and then there's raw luck. You know, the classic example from Aristotle is being in the market and running into someone who owes you money and they pay you back the money they owe you. You know, there's that kind of raw fate. And then there's the fate of, you know, these spirits who might have a personal interest in you. You know, all of these elements working together to make up your reality.
I think, Stephen, that it's like a pyramid. You know, you can almost take these different factors. So one, for example, one factor is, say, what's in your natal chart. That is going to have an enormous influence over your life. And I would say that describes the base of the pyramid. It's a big part of the structure. It's at the base. As you work with the opportunity, you know, you definitely have to acknowledge those building blocks at the base of that pyramid. And then there is also free will. There is the ability to make choices. So I could choose right now to continue speaking, or I could choose to close my computer and just go to a bar and have a glass of wine. I can make that choice. I'm free to make that choice. But I think that the deep energies, the deep circumstances and events of life are pretty fixed. You choose how to experience them. And then you do have other factors like, you know, say, for example, a spirit decides it wants to focus on you and facilitate you or hinder you in some way. Well, that spirit can actually have an influence, but I would say that that's a much smaller building block in the pyramid.
Right. Very, very interesting concept. I like the way you have of describing that, too. Set it up as a pyramid. Very interesting. Well, Dr. Nona Marie, let me get your take on the matter. In terms of fate and working with fate. What's your idea on fate?
Well, originally, I was raised to believe that we create everything, we intend it, we manifest it. So that's how I was raised. But I study with a spirit who comes in to a Taoist master's body. So the Taoist master leaves, and the spirit entity is there. And I've met plenty of entities before and spirits before, but this one really blew me away because I'll call him a he because he's in a he body. He's a very omnipresent being. In other words, when I've seen him, he could say to me, "Why did you wear your purple pajamas last night and then you spilled milk on the kitchen floor?" He knows everything. And he has made it more and more clear to me and to the few of us that study with him for decades now. He's never gotten big because I don't think it's a popular concept. That he always has said, "I think you would be very surprised by how little control you have on in your life about events once you're here." Meaning that what we have the most control over is our attitude and our response. One time when I saw him, the image that never left me and was a very big turning point for me in my life, and I was just sitting there in the room weeping, just absolutely weeping, and he said, "You feel like you're in a little sailboat in the ocean and the mast is broken." And I'm nodding my head and I'm just weeping, bawling. And he said, "There's sharks coming around this little boat. And there's a dark storm, a big dark storm on the horizon. And the sail is broken and there's sharks." And I'm crying and, "That's right, that's how I feel." And he said, "And you've lost one of your oars." And I'm going, "Yes, that's right." So, you know, it's this hopeless picture. I'm going to die. And I'm waiting for this miraculous answer from him. And he said, "Well, I'm waiting for you to throw away the other oar." I almost died of a heart attack right then and there when he said that, because he was asking for an even deeper level of surrender. In other words, if I stop paddling like a maniac with the one oar left, thinking that I would have a solution, then he and other forces could not come in to help me. And at that point, I threw away the other oar. And that's when spirit was really able to come in and perform miracles. They weren't the miracles I wanted. The miracles I wanted was, you know, to paddle to Jamaica and have a banana daiquiri or something. So it wasn't my vision of a miracle, but it was a miracle. And it was very clear that I did not get myself out of anything. But what I did instead was get a very strong center, a very strong spiritual connection. And because of all the surrender, I was shown solutions that I could have never imagined, which leads me back to one of my favorite thoughts from Einstein, which is we can't possibly solve problems with the same mind or same mindset, if you take it spiritually, that created the problem. So if I use my little pea brain, human brain, to solve problems, I'm like a mouse in a wheel because I'm always working with the known world. When I go into these really deep levels of surrender, the unknown world has room to come in and take me somewhere that not only have I never been, but I could have never imagined. And since that time, I've had so many experiences to back that up where I've had other people say to me, "Wow, you imagined this, you visualized it, and you manifested all of these things in your life." And I laugh and say, I could have never imagined what I have now, not in a million years. My brain could have never gone here. It came to me from somewhere else because I was willing to let go and yet not desert myself and not abandon spirit. And that is a really, for me anyway, a warrior's journey to do that. It's a kind of abandonment without giving up. And I have found that very difficult and yet miraculous in a journey. My teacher is very Eastern also, so this is not a very popular take on life in the United States. And I can say this is one of the most powerful spirits I've ever met. And after being here since like 1984, when we go to the advanced seminars or even the open ones, the most I've ever seen are 40 people there. You know, he's not, he doesn't have thousands of people following him and t-shirts and DVDs. So I would understand if everybody, the co-hosts here and everybody listening went, yeah, I don't believe what you're saying one bit because it's not a very popular outlook, but I can say it has really completely changed my life. And it took a while to do that, to say that it's not predestiny and fate made up by somebody else. I chose it before I got here with my guides, with a, you know, life between lives, going to the council, deciding what I wanted to experience as a spirit having a human experience. So it wasn't like it was put on me by another force, but once it's put in place and I'm here, it's going to run its course no matter what, is what I now believe.
Very interesting. I'm reminded of Oedipus Rex. No, you know, he was rowing with one oar trying to avoid the terrible fate that was forecast for him. And right. It didn't really do him any good. He still ran headlong into that fate. I guess the question would be, would it have been worse for him or better for him had he just accepted his fate and ran headfirst into it, you know? And
right. Or in the process of accepting it, does the lesson get softer? Like, we know, for example, that when people are extremely drunk and fall downstairs or have accidents, they typically have less injuries than sober people because they're so relaxed, their body doesn't resist the fall and they have much less damage done to their body. Not driving, I won't say that, but walking, etc. Same thing with riding horses. People who fall off who are relaxed rarely get hurt. I've had two horses somersault on top of me with no injury whatsoever. And I had to get some stuff unwound a little bit with manipulation and stuff, but no broken pelvis, no head cracked or anything like that. And so that is a good question. But I do think that the softer we get, you know, the Chinese tradition of be like water, the softer we get, the more we can flow into the container of, say, the Time Lords, or flow into the container of our karma without losing who we are, but without resisting what's coming either. I truly believe that now, but it took me a long time to get to this viewpoint, by the way, a long time.
That's very interesting. Lauren, what do you think about this? The Time Lord as an entity that should be appeased. You know, you're in a Mars, a very important Mars period. So the theory behind this might be that in order to get the best out of this period, you know, you could possibly look at Mars in your chart, see what it's all about, and try to manifest that somehow, right off the bat. Issues of, you know, sticking up for yourself and aggression and things of that nature come to the fore. So what the idea is, perhaps instead of making it be a bad Mars expression, you can make it be a good one by perhaps doing something aggressive or whatever. What do you think about this act of appeasement, manifesting and pleasing the spirit?
I love that, because actually I looked at the Mars and Venus after you talked about a little bit, and I said, really, it's not a bad thing, because Venus is about relationships and relationship with myself, and how I love and treat myself will really innately be a positive thing, and it will take into all relationships. So it kind of starts with self. And if I keep looking outward at other relationships and not coming into the most important relationship is with myself, then they're all in trouble. So it kind of opens that part of me, and really not appeasing, but the boundaries and learning all the different areas of myself, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, and hugging them all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot for that. I'd like to thank all of my co-hosts for your outstanding ideas. Would like to thank Dr. Benjamin Dykes for showing up tonight and giving us a wonderful interview. You can find him at bendykes.com. And that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Big thanks to Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. Big thanks to my co-hosts as well. Also to Steve, especially, for making this interview happen. And Dr. Nona Marie, you have a show not next week. We are not going to be airing the Psychic Viewpoint next week, but the week after that, January the 1st. Could you tell us about that show, please?
We will have Scott, and his last name just left me, Kirkpatrick or something like that. Oh my goodness, I
That's
forgot.
A long last name.
I know.
His last name just left me.
I know him so well, so I can't remember his last
name.
His name is Scott, and he is a Life Between Lives hypnotherapist who will be talking about his adventures. Oh, DeTambla is his last name. Thank you, Doug. Scott DeTambla, D-E, and last name T-A-M-B-L-E. And he has been doing Life Between Lives therapy for a long time. He was trained by Michael Newman, who I had done a session with, who wrote probably, I think it's one of the original books on Life Between Life hypnotherapy, where we take a soul into not the past life, but the place between lives where you meet your counsel, you assess your old life, you meet with your guides, and you plan your next life. And that was one of the best regressions I've ever done, was doing that. And I'm so excited to talk to Scott and hear some of his stories. Some of his client reports are in Dr. Michael Newman's book about, I think he has three books out on Life Between Lives. And one of them has a lot of case studies so people can hear and discover some of the decisions that souls make about why they set up hardships in their lives. And it's been very helpful reading to me, and I was very excited to see Scott published in one of Dr. Newman's books. Should be a great interview, and Scott has one of the biggest loving hearts of any person I've ever met, so I'm very happy to have him on the show.
It's going to be a fascinating topic. I'm much more curious about what happens in between lives and, you know, what happened in my past life, et cetera. It should be fascinating. Thank you very much, Dr. Nona Marie, for that. We're going to have Scott DeTambla, not next week, but the week after that, January the 1st, on The Psychic Viewpoint. Thanks a lot, everyone. Have a happy holidays, and we will see everyone in 2 weeks.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Easy.